Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand for just a minute. Praise team, stay up here. Let's lift up our hands and just thank the Lord. Thank him for his goodness. And thank him for his mercies. Mighty man of war, Lion of Judah, we bow down and worship you, Yahweh. Yahweh, command you what only you can do. Yahweh,
Yahweh, Yahweh, command you what only you can do.
Lord, we call upon you. We magnify your name. And we ask that you alone come and do what nobody else can do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise him. You may sit down as well. Thank you. Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Might as well enjoy the presence of the Lord. You are here. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, I believe that every time we come to church, the Lord gives us something. Amen? Today, I want you to just relax. You know, I am... It's kind of hard. You know, I try to get away from, you know, this topic of the virus and all of that. Because, I mean, we've already talked about that and so on. You know, but it's kind of hard because everywhere you turn, you know... People, you know, just talking about it on TV, everywhere, and so on. So this morning, at such a time as this, amen. So we're going to talk about, you know, the three dimensions, or maybe even more, but I won't have time to go into more than just three. Of what, you know, what the Lord wants for us at such a time as this. So we'll talk about for the individual, which is you and I. We're going to talk about for the church, which is GMI Church, and the church in general, the global body of Christ. And we're going to talk about, you know, our cities, our state, and so forth. You know, so let's start here. The Lord said, speak ye comfortably to my people. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. We're going to start there. But the title of the message is, at such a time as this. So comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And speak ye comfortably to God's people. Hallelujah. Now, in the story of Esther, if you turn to Esther chapter 4, in that story, you will find where things were happening, and once Esther was being put to the throne and so forth, Mordecai, who was her uncle, you know, said to her that, look, maybe there's a reason why God put you here at this time. So let's read it. I'm going to start at verse 13 of chapter 4 of Esther. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther and said, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the rest of the Jews. For if thou altogether, see, next verse, if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, see, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise from some other place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. I mean, he told her point blank. You know, don't think that because you are secure or you think you are secure in the king's palace, you know, don't think that you'll be saved. You know, and if you don't do what you need to do, well, God will raise up help from someplace else. But who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, who knows? But that God has positioned us here for such a time as this. Amen. Now, I want to address what God wants to say to us as individuals. Praise the Lord. What he wants to say to us as individuals is in Joel chapter 2. And now there's so many things he has already said to us. We've talked about how God's going to make a differentiation and so forth. We're not going to that this morning. But there's some specific things I want to bring out to us in the Word of God, some promises, and then we're going to see how, you know, he talks to the church and what we're supposed to be doing for our cities and the nation. Joel chapter 2, and part of this was read last week, but I'm going to read this part of it here in verse 26. Joel chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. And ye shall eat in plenty. Amen. And you shall be satisfied. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And this is the one I want to emphasize. And my people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. You know, well, you know, that is a very deep, that's a loaded promise. You know, because, I mean, there's all kinds of things going on right now, you know, but he said, my people shall never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. You know, and then he goes on to say, and ye shall know that I am the Lord in the midst of you. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And he says it again. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now, when God says something like that repeatedly, you know, back to back, you know, then it's like, yes, you know, he has made assurance doubly sure. Praise the Lord. He has made assurance doubly sure. Now, fear not, he said in Isaiah, be not afraid, for I am with you, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, there are many promises for us, but, you know, here's the thing I want to bring up. Because of the grace of God that is upon us, we are not affected, and we shall not be affected by this virus. Amen. But that does not mean that we are going to now just, you know, rest on our laurels. You know, the greatest plague that is plaguing the church and the world, but first the church right now, is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. You know, so we're going to come to that in a minute, but think about that. You know, if Esther were going to be safe in the palace, Mordecai said to her, look, don't think that, you know, you're going to be safe. If you don't do something, it's going to affect everybody. You know, so that's what I'm saying. If we don't do something, you know, now, you know, just imagine we are safe by the grace of God, not because of anything, not because we are better, but because we believe his word. Amen. You know, that's not negotiable. You have to believe his word. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you got to believe that. But you're believing, and you're minding your own business, and God is good to you, but it's affecting you anyway because they're closing the stores, they're closing the schools, they're closing everything, and they're closing down, locking down on everything, you know. So no matter which way you look at it, it's going to affect us one way or another. Now, listen to this. In the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to read two verses real quick out of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, first I will read from chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither have you made up the hedge. It says here for the house of Israel, but I'll say, well, for the people of the Lord, you know, to stand in the day of battle. So this is something that doesn't please the Lord very well. You know, when people are not taking up their posts. Now, there is something that God has put in place. And I will read that to you in a minute after I read this next one in Ezekiel, chapter 22 and verse 30. You know, it says here, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and should stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy, but I found none. Remember, Abraham, he stood before the Lord when God was going to destroy the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he stood before the Lord, and he was in that intercessory prayer before the Lord. And now, many times we have seen that. Daniel, he stood before the Lord because he understood by the books that it was coming to time. You know, we heard messages. We even heard it last week. We're understanding by the books now that it's coming to time. Now, what should we be doing at this time? This is the time for prayer. Amen. Daniel, he identified himself with the sins of the people. He did not make himself holier than thou. Even though he was not exactly doing all those wicked things that the people were doing, but he said, Lord, we have sinned. And because you are a righteous God, that's why confusion of faces has come upon us, because we did not follow your ways. And he prayed for God's mercy. Praise the Lord. He was a man that stood in the gap for his nation. He identified himself. You know, Jesus, he identified himself with the sins of the people. You know, I mean, he prayed until blood was coming out of his head. What do you think he was praying about? It was the sins of, because he was going to be made sin, and there was no way that the holy God, which was Christ himself, I mean, the Bible says that God was in Christ. You know, it said the Godhead, the fullness of Godhead was in him bodily. The fullness of holiness and righteousness was in him bodily, and he was going to become sin. I mean, it just, look, nobody can imagine that, I tell you. You know, but he took our sins upon himself. Can somebody say amen? He identified himself with the sins of the people so that God may forgive all. Now, there's a lesson to be learned in that, folks. Now, the Lord said here, because he couldn't find anybody, he said, therefore, in verse 31, I have poured out my indignation upon them, you know, and consumed them and so forth with wrath and all that, you know, recompense upon their heads, you know, their evil and so on. You know, there's so many ways that God does things, you know. This particular one may or may not have been from the Lord. It could even be the devil, and God can use that. Whatever it is, you know, God allowed it, but that's not the point. I'm not focusing on where this is coming from. I'm focusing on the response that we should have. Praise the Lord. The response that we should have. Now let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to go to chapter 1 when Jeremiah was called by the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10. And I'm going now into the thing, the place where God has positioned you at such a time as this. See, I have this day set you over the... How can God set one person over? He wasn't even king. Jeremiah was not the king. I mean, he was just somebody. He didn't even know that he was going to be a prophet when God was telling him this. You know, he said, I have set you this day over the nations and over their kingdoms. Now, there's a role, folks. It's called watchers and gatemen. You know, I was actually going to title this message like that, you know, but I shifted a little bit, you know, and so on. You know, there is a role that we have to play. Praise the Lord. You know, so you can call this message for such a time as this, watchers and gatemen. You know, now, I have set you over the nations to root out, you know, notice the things that God said here. You know, there is a pattern to these things. You know, before you can build and you can plant, you got to take care of some things. You have got to root out. You have got to pull down. You have got to destroy. And you have got to throw down the enemy's works. Amen. And then you have to build and plant for the kingdom of righteousness. Now, this is what God called us to do. And this man, young man, didn't even know about it, you know, and so forth. And God was putting him in such a place like that. For you personally, among all the other promises that we have read in Psalm 91 for the several weeks that has passed, you know, everybody that stood up here has one way or the other referred to those promises, you know, where God has said that he will protect us. Amen. You know, but he did also say that there are certain things that you can trample underfoot. Amen. You can trample the dragon underfoot. The young lion, the dragon, the adder, and all of these things shall thou trample under your feet. Now, how do you trample things under your feet? It's in prayer. Amen. You can't trample things under your feet by just braggadoing all over the place. That doesn't work. You know, the place of power is in prayer. That's where you get the power. Now, early in the morning, Jesus will go out into the mountains and pray. The disciples will eat and drink, you know, and so forth. And Jesus even defended them. That's okay. You know, the bridegroom is with them at this time. You know, but the hour is coming when the bridegroom shall be taken away. Now, the bridegroom has been taken away. He's not here now. So this is the time to fast and to pray. But are people fasting and praying? Even when we call for a fast, how many people actually do join? You know, but when the time came, these disciples who were eating and drinking, they couldn't do anything. And they said, well, why couldn't your disciples cast them out? And even the disciples himself say, well, why couldn't we do it? But Jesus said, well, for one thing, because of your unbelief, you know. And the way that you can deal with that unbelief, there's a strong kind of unbelief. It's a stronghold, you know. Now, you can read that verse in two different ways. I used to always read it as when he said, nevertheless, this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. It could be, maybe he was talking about the demonic spirit. But I dare say to you also that there is a kind of unbelief. It's very sinister and it's very subtle. And it cannot go out of your mind except by prayer and fasting. So I want you to look at that in two different ways today. And that's come by revelation. You know, that look, it won't be, you know, sure, you know, you need prayer and fasting to cast out devils. But, you know, do you know that unbelief is a devil itself? You know, these are the little foxes that spoil the vine. Unbelief is at the top of them, you know. So that kind of unbelief is not going to go away, you know, unless you are really, in fact, because what will happen is, you know, it's a kind of a yo-yo kind of thing, you know, the yo-yo stuff. One day you are believing God, the next day you are doubting. One day you are believing God, the next day you are doubting. You know, that's unbelief. That's how it works. It's not that you are unbelieving all the whole time. You know, you already believe God. You have faith to be saved, you know. But, you know, there will be moments, you know, up and down like that, you know. And that's how you leveled that playing field with fasting and prayer. That's how you level that, so that you are always constantly believing God. Praise the Lord. That stuff, that kind of unbelief that plagues everybody's mind at times when they doubt, no matter how many miracles people have seen, there's always that unbelief that will come at different times. You know, look at all the signs and wonders that God showed Israel in the land of Egypt. And then when they got to a little place, they didn't find any water. They wanted to go back. Can you imagine that? There's no matter the things that they had seen that God had done, you know, the parting of the Red Sea, heaping it up on every side, making them to walk through on dry land, and then bringing the water over all the Egyptians and so forth. I mean, they had seen miracles. They've seen the pillar of fire. Nobody had ever seen it before. They saw all these things. They saw the pillar of fire stay in front of them and move only when they had to move. They saw God speak out of the fire. Amen. Nobody had ever done that. Well, yet when a little other thing came up, they doubted. So that is a stronghold that doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, I want to read something to us about, you know, the power of God and the life of Jesus Christ. Earlier in the verse, it says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. You know, that the, you know, that's in verse 6. He has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, now, let me talk about that a little bit. Just jump forward to verses 11. And I'm going to read, you know, just a few verses in 11 and so on. And then another one just following that. Verse 11 says, you know, verses 10 and 11 is the one I want to read. Always bearing about in the body a dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? How can I be bearing about in the body dying of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what it means is in your body, you are recognizing and acknowledging what the Lord already did. So that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Amen. Now, the life of Jesus is not one that was plagued by disease. Now, it's not one that was, you know, plagued by any of these things, you know. So he said, look, he says it twice. You know, in 11b, he also says that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, you've got to keep a constant declaration of the fact that Jesus paid the price. For the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's what Isaiah says. He did that. He took it upon himself. And it was an exchange. You know, it's an exchange. You know, he who was guiltless, he who was perfect, became sin for us so that we might attain the perfection of God. He exchanged, he traded his place, like trading places. Traded his place with us. Now, you must constantly affirm these things. Now, what is our role? There are many promises in the Bible that have to do with us physically in shelter from the Lord at this time. We've covered that in the last several services. You know, so, and if you still want to go, you can go back to our website and read or listen to any of these messages over the last several weeks. Talking about all of the, you know, how God will protect his children and so on, you know. But I want to talk about the role that God has for us at such a time as this. Remember, at such a time as this, watchmen and gatekeepers. Now, the Bible says if the good man of the house would have watched in the spirit, he would have, you know, watched and not allowed his house to be broken up. Now, that means that, you know, if there is somebody on the watch, you know, maybe, you know, there is a role that they can play. That's what he's saying. There is a role that they can play, you know. Now, the role, what is the role that God wants us to play at such a time as this? Is it just for us to say, you know, only with my eyes shall I behold the reward of the wicked? 1,000 will fall on my side and 10,000 on my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Amen? We know that. But is it only that? Is it only for us to say that? Or should we do something about it? Praise the Lord. And there is something that we need to do about it. You need to engage in this warfare spiritually. And not just be on the fence. You need to engage. Have to engage. Praise the Lord. And how do you engage? Well, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, you read the whole chapter. God was going to bring some destruction. And he lined up some real heavenly powers that were going to do it. You know, and then he also lined up one person, one power, one being that had the writer's ink on. And many of you may know this story. And he said, Ezekiel chapter 9, he said, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Well, God was talking to Job, and he revealed some things to us in Job 38. I don't have time to go into all of that. But he said, canst thou bind the influences of the Pleiades? I mean, do you understand the dominion of things in the heaven, how they affect the earth? And he was challenging, you know. And by reading that, we understand that there are some things. Can thou set their dominion? You know, things that happen in the heavenlies have dominion over the earth. Praise the Lord. So, there is the prince of the air, the devil's prince of the air, but there is also God's power. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we heard this last time, the spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So God has his own watchers. The devil has his own prince over the air, prince over the nations, and so forth. But God also has his own watchers and alerters. Amen. Now, so God, he called these people, he said, look, you know, six men, they came out from the gate, you know, higher, and every one of them had a slaughter. I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 9, if they can put it up. They had a slaughter weapon in their hand in verse 2. And they were clothed with linen. But there was one of them that was clothed with linen and had an inkhorn, you know, a writer's inkhorn, like a pen with a fountain pen or whatever they used to have in those days. And the glory of the Lord in verse 3 was gone up from the cherub, you know, this is a heavenly beings and so forth, you know, where he was. And then he called to the man that had the writer's inkhorn, and he said to him, you know, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark. Now, remember, the devil is going to set a mark, you know, right? Set a mark. The Lord did this first. You know, the devil always kind of hits something. You know, set a mark on the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of the land. You know, I mean, are you sighing? Are you crying? Are you concerned? You know, because this is one way that God sets people apart. He marks those that are praying. He marks those that are sighing. He marks those that are crying over the abomination that is done in the land. God doesn't have pleasure in the death of the wicked, even. You know, God wants them to be saved. Praise the Lord. Now, mark those who are really concerned, who are engaging, and who are praying. And then he said to the others in my hearing, go after this man that is marking those ones. And after he has marked them, here's what he said. He said in verse 6, slay utterly old and young, maids and children and women and everything, but come not near any man upon whom is that mark. Now, not the devil's mark, but the mark that the Lord put on them. He set them apart because they were the ones that were concerned. They were not the ones that were at ease in Zion. They were not the ones that thought, well, because I'm in the palace, I'll be safe. No. Mordecai told her, you are not going to be safe. You need to engage in this fight. Praise the Lord. You need to engage in this fight. You know, and this is how you engage. And he said, you know, come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Wow. Hello? Hello? You know, but you see, there were also, it wasn't everybody that was in the sanctuary that was wiped out. Some of these people that were crying for the city were also in the sanctuary. So it doesn't mean he's going to wipe, you know, but there is a differentiation here too. You know, among the people who are really praying and engaging and asking for God's mercy and so forth. And there are some that may be just indifferent, you know, and so forth. So what is the role that we should be doing right now? Do we know that, I mean, the Lord answers prayer? Do we know that? Let me read to you one prayer, and I'm going to this last part of it now, which is, I'm already talking about the role that we should be doing, not only for others, for people in the church, for the body of Christ, but for our city and for our nation. You know, because if we're not doing this, if you're not getting in the fight spiritually, you know, the enemy is closing in and closing in and closing in, you know. But we have a role as watchmen and gatekeepers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord did say that, you know, he was talking in Luke chapter 18, but that's not the one I'm going to read. He was talking about, look, men ought always to pray and not to faint, you know, and that God will avenge them speedily. But the point, though, is that, you know, in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, just that one verse, he said that, you know, the Lord, you know, is going to avenge them speedily. But he put a caveat here. See, he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, you can interpret that any which way you want. But the Lord gave me a revelation out of this some time back. That look, when you're praying and believing God for something, you know, it may seem as if it's delayed, it's long, it's not coming, and so forth. But what happens to people is that just when the answer is around the corner, that's when people give up. Think about that. When the Lord finally comes, will he still find you standing at the point of faith when he comes with an answer to your prayer? Forget that when it comes later on. You remember, the Bible has dual prophetic fulfillments many times. You know, God will say something in one verse. It can mean this, and it can mean that, and it can mean the other thing. How many of you know that? You know, that's how the scripture works. You know, so when the Lord finally comes, will you still be believing? I mean, that means, do you believe that God can actually do this thing? Not only is able to protect us, but can push this thing back when you engage. Do you believe that? And that's what I'm looking for here this morning. So let me read this thing to us, and then we're going to do something else. You know, so this is a prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. Many of you are familiar with this prayer. This was something he prayed before he went to the cross. And it was a lengthy prayer. You can read the whole chapter. But I'm not going to read all of that. So I am going to just read a few verses, you know, starting from verse 15 of John chapter 17. He was talking about the people that the Father had given him and what he had done for them, spoken the word to them and so forth and all that, you know. And he said, look, he said, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. So Jesus didn't pray that, you know, God should take us out of the world as soon as we believe. No. I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. How many of you can say amen? So this is prophetic declaration that there will be times of evil that the church will be here. They may not be necessarily taken out. We know there's some great evil coming later on that the church will be taken out. But they will experience other times of evil where they may not be taken out, but God will keep them from the evil. Amen. Because I guarantee you that that prayer from the Lord Jesus Christ was answered. Amen? That's my confidence. Jesus already prayed for us. He prayed for Peter. He said, look, the enemy has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. You know, and that made a difference between Peter and Judas. I have prayed for you. And they both denied the Lord, but I have prayed for you. Now, he didn't exactly pray for Judas, but he prayed for Peter. I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. And look at what Peter did afterwards. So when Jesus prays like that, and he said, I have prayed for them that God will keep them from the evil. Amen. Now, and that's the same thing that we need to be doing. You know, we need to be doing this. That while we are here, not only should God keep us from the evil, but keep all the church, keep all the beloved brethren, whether they are in this fellowship or other churches, doesn't matter. And that God should also have mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I love this story. I'm just going to paraphrase it. I don't have time to read it. I have read it before. You know, if you go back to that first message in the year about differentiation, we read those story. I came back a few weeks later and preached another thing. We refer to that story. So I'm not going to read it now. But there was one of the pestilences in Egypt which had to do with the locust. It was like the east wind brought those locusts, maybe from the sea, maybe wherever, you know. And then after Pharaoh said, you know, forgive me my sin this once and just pray for the Lord. He said that many multiple times. And then Moses prayed. The Lord sent another west wind this time as a counter, you know, blowed everything back to the sea. Amen. You know, I remember and I prayed that in a prayer one day. You know, we're here in the night vigil a month or so ago. I said, Lord, blow this thing back into the sea. You know, at that time, I didn't even know that the thing originated from the sea or anything, whatever. But, you know, blow this thing back. So that's the prayer that we need to pray. Praise the Lord. And when you are standing in prayer, this is what God is looking for. Say, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to pray for the land, you know, and so forth. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name, hallelujah, shall humble themselves. The first thing is humble themselves. The psalmist said, I humble my soul with fasting. That's what we do when we are fasting and praying. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn from their prayerlessness or wicked ways. You know, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now, folks, I will heal their land. You know, God is able to do just that. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to take that prayer. We did some of this on Friday, but there are more people here today and more people are probably watching. I want you to join us in this prayer. We're going to take this small segment now. And you have known now that God is protecting us. And we are thankful and grateful for that. And we, you know, every day you should wake up and bless the name of the Lord for his protection and for his goodness. Amen. You know, and then engage in the spiritual fight. And pray. Because this is what he says. If my people will pray, you know. And I want to remind us, and we said this in a couple of the evening services that we've had over the last two Fridays. But there's more people here today that were not there during those times. I want to remind those of you who were here when we opened this building, we're going to do that prayer again this morning. We had 24-hour prayer here before we actually opened the building. And the climax of that prayer was we read this thing in 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to do that right now in a minute. We did this on Friday, but prayer is never too much. Amen. How many of you know prayer is never too much? Men ought always to pray and not to give up, not to faint. In 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, we did the same thing when we were dedicating this building, and we prayed this prayer. And I want everybody to rise up with me now, so we're going to pray this prayer. Stand up wherever you are. Now, this is a very interesting prayer. You can read it from verse 22 of that chapter of 1 Kings chapter 8. But I'm not going to read all of that because it's too long. You can read it on your own. It's very interesting. But I'm going to pick out some verses that we want to focus on. So starting at verse 35. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because the people have sinned. Now, if thy people shall pray towards this house and shall confess thy name and turn from their sin and so forth, then hear thou from heaven and forgive. Amen. And then he said, look, teach thy people the good way that they should walk. Take a challenge. Spend a little more time in prayer. You know, get away from some meaningless things. You know, they're even asking folks now to do only, you know, essential, move from place to place. Well, this is a time for us to only do essential things too. You know, cut away some things that are taking your time. Spend a little extra time in prayer. Amen. Now, and he told them, he said, look, verse 37. If there be in the land famine. How many of you know there's famine right now? There is famine. Famine means a shortage of things. That's what famine means. Doesn't mean famine of farm materials only. It can be a famine of the word of the Lord or famine of anything. There's famine right now. If there be famine, if there be pestilence, I'm sure everybody knows there's pestilence right now. It's even called a pandemic. I mean, the people are saying that they've never seen anything quite like it. I know that in my generation, I've never seen anything quite like it, you know. And if there be famine, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, if there be mildew, and if there be locust. Remember that same locust that God can blow back into the sea. Hallelujah. If all of these things cover the land, and those are demonic powers, even in the Great Revelation, I mean, in the Great Tribulation, in the Book of Revelation, he's going to open the bottomless pit, you know, bunch of demonic locusts are going to come and cover the whole place. You know, these are a preview of those things. Now, if these things are in the land and the enemy is besieging them and so forth in their cities, did you know that even here in Arizona, things closing? I was looking at a map on CNN yesterday and I see all the states where they have all the red and the lockdown and so forth. And I'm looking and Arizona is still white. Can somebody say amen? But not for long if you don't pray. You know, so this is a call to prayer. If their enemy closing upon them, whatsoever plague, whatsoever disease there be or sickness there be, amen. If at that time the people will make prayer and supplication, if whatever prayer, verse 38, and supplication shall be made by any man of all thy people, and, you know the what's in their heart and so forth. And if they shall come and spread their hands toward this house. That's what we did when we opened the building. Now, I want you to lift up your hands, everybody that's here with us. The Lord inspired Solomon to pray this prayer. And the things that are in the Bible are written for our examples. You know, this thing was written for our example. If there is pestilence in the land, and if it is closing in our cities, if there be disease and plague and famine and so forth, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their prayerlessness and their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. It's not just forgive their sin, folks. He is going to heal the land. And if the people come into the house of the Lord at such a time as this, if the watchers and the gatemen that I have set upon the walls, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Judah and O Jerusalem. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O GMI Church. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O body of Christ. And if those watchmen will stand up and they will pray and lift their hands in this place, I want all hands up and begin to pray. Come on, everybody, begin to open your mouth. Open your mouth and begin to pray. If all these people will come into my house and begin to pray and pray against the pestilence and pray against the plague and pray against the disease, whatever be in the land, and the famine and the shortage and all the things that they need, then the Lord said, I will hear from heaven. Hear thou, O Lord, from heaven. from thy dwelling place and forgive and do only that which only you can do. Forgive, O Lord, and do that which only you can do. Hallelujah. And those of you that can pray in the spirit, begin to pray in the spirit. Begin to pray in the spirit. God, the Bible says, I will pray with my understanding and I will pray with my spirit. Begin to pray in the spirit. We want this thing pushed back. Now, ye are the watchmen and ye are the gatekeepers that God has raised up at such a time as this. Kandiri about Sheri la Hosantari abai. Zoria da Bakundi Mosketandori. Eshta Eshta Borika Saili Makari. Yes, God has raised you up at a time like this, and He has empowered you. Yes, He has empowered you to be watchmen, to be gatekeepers, that will stand in the gap, that will make up the hedge, and that will push back the hand of wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, hear thou from heaven. Forgive our sin, O Lord. Now, this nation, along with other nations, and this nation is leading in the wickedness that is in the world today. This nation is spearheading all this nonsense, you know, bestiality, gay, whatever, trying to even force it down people's throats. This nation has taken prayer out of schools. This nation is leading the world in wickedness. But yet God has His elect in this nation. So the elect of God must stand up at such a time as this. And they must pray. This is the place where God has chosen to put His name there. You know, and God has chosen in this building to put His name there. Now, wherever you are, if you believe this and you have a prayer altar in your home, then repair that altar. Repair the altar. Repair the prayer altar. And begin to know that God has chosen to put His name in your house as a house of prayer. And then when you come into this building, oh, what a place. This is a place of shelter. This is a place of prayer that God has raised up. When you come in here, believe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now we're going to pray together. I'm going to lead this prayer. I want you to say amen when you agree. Now amen means so let it be. Amen. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything which they shall ask. That's another promise. A powerful promise in the Bible. Amen. Especially when we are asking things according to the will of God. You know, now we know that this is the will of God, because He said that God should keep them from the evil, not take them out of the world. You know, we don't want people to die. We don't want people, you know, whatever, but we want the children of God be preserved. Hallelujah. And we want peace in our cities. So I want you to raise your hands once again. I'm going to pray. And if I say something that resonates with your spirit, you say amen, and we lock it in prayer. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you for this hour of prayer. Thank you for those who are physically here. Thank you to those who are watching on Facebook or wherever our service is being streamed. Thank you for everyone that is believing God right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, this nation was a great nation. You founded this nation upon the Bible, upon the principles of the Bible. But we have sinned. We have followed everyone the devices of our hearts. We have left the way of righteousness. We have said we don't need the Lord. We don't need prayer in schools. We don't need to be this. We're going to be whatever we want to be. If you want to be an animal, you want to be a this, we're going to be just that. You know. And we have done all this. We have turned the image and the glory of God into things that God abhors. Therefore, this confusion of faces has come upon us. And Lord, even your people that are called by your name, we have been plagued by this sin of prayerlessness. We would rather watch TV, do social media, go to movie, do whatever else, go to parties all night long on Saturday, don't come to church, do all of these things rather than pray. Therefore, in our time when we were on the roll call, you know, when it should not have been, when we were on duty, these things happened during our watch because we have forsaken the place of prayer. Lord, we come unto you today to repent that this should not happen during our watch. This should not happen. If the watchman would have watched, then his house would not have been broken up. This should not happen during our watch. Father, we ask for your forgiveness. We humbled ourselves this week, Lord, with fasting throughout this weekend. Many people joined us on Friday. Some fasted throughout the weekend and prayed. And we are here again praying. Some even fasted before Friday. We thank you, Lord. We are praying, Lord, and we are asking you, forgive us. Forgive our sins. We identify our sins with the sin. We identify with the sins of the nation. And we say, Lord, forgive in the name of Jesus. And heal our land. Now, we are gate men and watchers for the state of Arizona. And we want to push this thing back. You know, the Bible says, start at your own Jerusalem. And then to Judah and Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts. Well, all right, we're right here in Phoenix. Then we're going to pray over Phoenix. We're going to pray over Arizona. Then we're going to pray over the United States and the nations. Now, I want you to pray over Phoenix right now. You know, pray over Phoenix in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm praying over the children of God. And I'm praying over Phoenix, Arizona. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray over Phoenix, Arizona. In the name of Jesus. We're asking, Lord, that you give us a wall of fire round about. In the name of Jesus. We pray for our state, Arizona. We're asking, Lord, that you push back this thing that is closing in on us. Push back in the name of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? And for the places in our lands and other states where this thing has actually crept in, that people are totally confused and they are locked down, we are also standing on their behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, there was locusts all over the land. It wasn't just that the locust wasn't there and they were praying that the locust should not come. The locust was already there. It was already all over the land. And yet when Moses prayed, one man, when he prayed, the Lord sent a great west wind and blew the whole thing all night long. And there was not one left. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are claiming forgiveness of sins. And we are asking you, Lord, to send that great west wind again and blow this stuff away from our lands, back into the sea, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray for families that have been affected by this thing. We thank the Lord, none of us, but there are families all over this country. This country is now leading in the cases affected all throughout the world. Now, we pray for families that have been affected. We pray for loved ones and so forth. We pray that the hearts of men will not be like Pharaoh. Because when the Lord gave relief, then Pharaoh hardened his heart. A lot of people's hearts are tender right now. But when the Lord gives relief, will they harden their hearts again? So let's pray. Father, there are souls that you have ordained for the kingdom, but they are still in the valley of decision. I pray, Lord, that the Lord will use this opportunity to draw people unto the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not let them, Lord, let them not harden their hearts. when the Lord gives relief. We pray for those, help people to be, to use wisdom. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Help them to use wisdom, help them to use understanding and so forth, and let them trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Call on the Lord God Jehovah. For in the Lord God there is everlasting strength. And he is our shield. He's our comforter. We thank you, Lord, for protecting all of us. And as you are standing here, I want you to, in your prayer, one last prayer now. You're representing yourself and all your loved ones. Amen. Yourself and all your loved ones. And I'm representing myself, all our loved ones, but also all of our GMI church and families, our extended families, because not everybody's here today. We're representing everybody. One more time. I want you to say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your protection. A lamb for an house. Lord, as we stand here, I sprinkle the blood of Jesus for myself, for my family, for the entire GMI church family, and all their families, and all the beloved brethren, wherever they are, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. The shadow of the Lion of Judah is cast over the elect of God. Shadow of the Lion watching over me, the shadow of the Lion, the Lion of Judah is cast over the elect of God, the shadow of the Lion protecting me, the shadow of the Lion, the Lion of Judah is cast over the elect of God, the shadow of the Lion watching over me, the shadow of the Lion, the Lion of Judah is cast over the elect of God, the shadow of the Lion protecting me, the shadow of the Lion, the Lion of Judah is cast over every leg of God, the shadow of the Lion watching over me, the elect of God, the shadow of the Lion.